So please turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 11. Last week's title was "Cursed is a man who trusts in man." If you don't have Jesus, if you don't have God, all you can do is trust in man. And the older you get, more gray hairs you have, you know what a fool's errand that is, because men can promise all kinds of things. Politicians can promise things, friends, neighbors, family, and it's always a letdown. But if you put your trust in God, he never changes, never leaves or forsakes us, and it's just always a blessing to serve our God. And today's title is, again, this is not a happy message from Jeremiah. And he's basically, God says, I want you to tell him this. I want you to tell him that this place, Jerusalem, shall be called the Valley of Slaughter. So God tells Jeremiah, tell him, because of their attitude, because of their refusal to repent, that Jerusalem will become the Valley of Slaughter. And we left, we're covering a couple of verses here from last week, verse 11. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now. And I emphasize, what does that mean last week? And we're going to, it means repent. It says, return now, repent, everyone from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Let's turn to Acts 26:19. And even in our discussion in the office today, because of the Calvary Chapel movement, the Calvary Chapel Association movement, which is what we're part of, compared to the Calvary Chapel Global Network, which Brian Broderson, when he took over for Chuck Smith, he's been destroying the Calvary Chapel and movement, and the CCAs are trying to stay the course of biblical authority of the Bible, to should rule our life. And there's a current debate going on called gay celibate theology, which the Calvary Chapel Global Network is totally embracing the idea that it's okay for a homosexual lesbian to identify as that as a Christian. I'm a Christian, gay, bisexual, confused, but I'm celibate, so that's okay. And it's a major movement within evangelical Christianity across the nation today. And so what we're trying to accomplish with the CCA board, the pastors in our area, we've been talking, one of the pastors wrote a 24-page write-up on it that Dust and I both read today. And it's so simple. I'm repenting for a life that I lived in the past. Jesus makes me a new creature in Christ. If I want to identify as in my past, I'm a thieving, I'm a murderer, I'm an adulterer, but I'm not doing that anymore, but I identify as that, that is a complete departure from biblical salvation. And even Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, and such were some of you. And so it's just so basic. And yet, it's being debated. And we're, our group is looking at it like if the big boys that are at the CCA can't get this right and say any church that calls himself a Calvary or a Calvary CCA Calvary Chapel Association Calvary that embraces gay celibate theology, then we're going to take you off of the list on the computer, so that people are looking for a Calvary, they don't say, oh, there's a Calvary in town, and you go and you find out they affirm the LGBT community. As as long as they're, hey, are you being celibate today? Okay, you're fine. You can dress weird. You can do anything else weird. You can act weird, identify as still living in the world, but as long as you're not doing it. And so it's a big deal. And the simple thing is, repent. You repent and turn away, no longer identify with being in the world because you're a new creature in Christ. And it's not hard, but, so, In Acts 26:19, Paul is standing before King Agrippa. He's in chains. He's been arrested by mostly by the Romans, because the Jews were about to kill him in Jerusalem, about to kill Paul in Jerusalem. And the Romans go, whoa, what's going on? They arrested Paul. Long story. He gets up and he's now before King Agrippa. And this is his testimony of what he's been doing for the last couple decades of spreading the gospel. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, which God said, Paul, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to bring the gospel of Jesus, but declared first to those in Damascus, where he was when he, you know, was blinded on the road to Damascus, got truly, totally saved, and was testifying in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles all over Asia and Macedonia, that they should, and what was his message? This is what he says, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. So he didn't say, you know, anything else that he was talking about. I'm telling people you've got to repent. And you've got to have fruits of repentance. And turn away from evil. And for these reasons, ungodly people want to kill you. And today within the church, if you tell people to repent, oh, you're insensitive, you're unloving, you're harsh, you're whatever else. No, our message is you got to repent. You're fighting God, you have to repent. Or you're going to die and go to the lake of fire. Oh, you're so harsh, so you know, you need to, you know, it's very clear. Let's turn to Revelation 9:18. See, that was in the past. That's what Paul's mission was. And we, of course, have our mission now is should be a reflection of what Paul was doing 2,000 years ago. And what's the message in the future? The future is, what are people going to do when they're told they need to repent? And I'll say that if people refuse to repent, and we're going to see this in Jeremiah too, it means they're not saved. If you don't repent, you're not saved. And so in Revelation 9:18, this is the future. This is the sixth trumpet judgment of the book of Revelation. This is the tribulation period. We are gone. You know, we're not here on earth when this is happening. We've been already raptured. And God has left 144,000 Jewish witnesses from 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes to be here to testify of the truth while we're gone, because they're the witness people here. And so by these three plagues, the three plagues of the sixth trumpet judgment, 200 million horsemen released by the angels holding back the Euphrates, a third of mankind was killed. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. Now this is after a fourth had been killed before the tribulation starts. You know, to say, you know, fourth, in my understanding, a fourth of the world gets killed on the way to set up global government, which you need to have a global government, to have a global leader, to have that leader make a covenant with many for a 7-year period of time. So before the tribulation starts, a fourth gets killed. Now that the tribulation has started, a third get killed. How many is that total for the world? One half. Now you would think that if all this was known, and we can assume the 144,000 are warning the people because they're protected during these judgments. All the prophecies pertaining to the fourth of the world's population, people are being wiped out. People are going to realize, wow, that war that we just had just wiped out a fourth of the world's population, just like that Bible said. So they're going to be aware of all this. They're going to be aware that this is the Bible of the God of the universe, the one who says he created all things. We're seeing it all come true. You would think that they would repent. And they were killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths, for their power, you know, again, this, whatever the 200 million horsemen are, there's different debates about what they are, is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, the people that still lived, after seeing these prophecies of the Bible fulfilled, after hearing the 144,000, whatever they're telling them, seeing the two witnesses in Jerusalem and all the stuff that's happening there, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, which is the idols of gold, silver, brass, and stone, and wood, everything they worshipped other than God, Behind it is a demon, because the demons want us. They deceive people into worshiping something besides God. They can neither see nor hear nor walk, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries. And we're talking about the plague of people just murdering each other. Their sorceries, drug use, their sexual immorality, LGBTQ, etc., or their thefts, which we see just rampant thievery, just unbelievable rampant thievery in our culture. And it's going to be worse during the tribulation, and they're not going to repent. Even though they know that's why the judgment's coming, they're not going to repent. Go to Revelation 16:8. And I want to emphasize that it's the plague of man, as we see in Jeremiah, because the people in Jeremiah's day had started to see the consequences of Babylon coming, wiping out neighborhood villages and stuff, and Jerusalem's not conquered yet. But they see Jeremiah's prophecies and Ezekiel's prophecies and Daniel's prophecies, you know, coming true. And they, you would think they would repent. You would think that they would turn away from their sin. But in Revelation 16:8, then the fourth angel poured out his bowl, you know, the seven bowls of wrath, the fourth bowl of wrath, on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. The sun is going to go ballistic during the tribulation period. Something's going to happen to the sun. Major, you know, something major that God is going to miraculously have happen that's going to increase the temperature on the earth to where people are feeling like they're living in Arizona every day. And I've been to Arizona, and it's like it gets much hotter than that in Arizona. You lose air conditioning, you're going to die. I mean, it's going to be bad on the earth. And I would imagine that already hot places are going to truly be completely wiped out, because it'll just be too hot to even live. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. So they curse God for the problem, when the problem is really what? Human-caused global warming. It's really good to use this. It's human-caused global warming. Because of their sin, judgment comes, and instead of blaspheming God, they should say, okay, God, we give. We give, and we want to repent and turn to you. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and the kingdoms became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain of darkness, just global darkness that you can feel. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Back to Jeremiah 18:11. They didn't repent of their deeds, because it really is the theme. It's what happens. And we need to emphasize that people stop fighting God. Turn to him. Stop living for idols of this world. Stop living for immorality. Leave your lifestyle that's an abomination to God. Verse 11 again, now therefore speak to the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. As our generation is being told, the plan of this judgment is the tribulation period, which is almost here. It's almost here. Return now, repent, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, the Jews of Jeremiah said, oh, that's hopeless. Not going to happen, Jeremiah. You want us to change from our wicked ways? That's hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will, everyone, obey the dictates of his evil heart. I'm going to continue to be wicked, and you can't stop me. Same thing's going to happen during the tribulation period. We see the same attitude extreme in our culture today. You can't tell somebody to turn away from wickedness, and all of a sudden you become a wicked person in their eyes. But you know what? There's one light in this. Current event kind of thing this week, Israel went into Rafah. The whole world's told them, don't do that. Don't go into Rafah. We're cutting off our supply of conventional arms to Israel as a result of the fact that they went into Rafah. And what is that? Here's my theory on that. Why would the Biden administration, the globalists, all of a sudden say, we're not going to send you any more artillery rounds and tank rounds and bombs for the planes and stuff because you went into Rafah? What is that going to force Israel to do if they run out? And I think we covered this a few weeks ago. They'll have to bring out the nukes. and the globalists want nuclear war. And we're on the verge of it in between Russia and NATO again. I mean, the news today is that President Putin was told by the West that because you keep on messing with Ukraine and they're winning, Russia is winning the land war in Ukraine. And so what we've decided to do is we've decided that the year 300 billion euros, a little bit more than $300 billion, that have been locked up in the banks ever since you invaded, that we've blocked your access to it, we now are going to confiscate it and give it all to Ukraine to help them rebuild. And, you know, do you think that made Putin happy? No, you know what he did today? Today. He ordered all of their main missiles that Ukraine hasn't been able to shoot down because they're hypersonic or they have defensive techniques to them. Today they're changing out the conventional warheads with nukes. And they're making it very public that they're doing that. And Putin has said, you know, France and these other nations are saying very soon, we can't let Ukraine lose, so we will have to go in. NATO will have to go in. And Russia's gone and told through their ambassadors, if you do that, then Washington is not off limits, Downing Street in the UK is not off limits, and Paris is not off limits. We will nuke them. If you come and do this, we're going to nuke. So we are truly on the verge, openly loading up nukes for the first time since the Cold War days, because of what's going on in Ukraine. And so will anybody repent from this? You know, again, nobody's repenting. There's fewer turning away from this judgment. And the good part of the story is that when Israel went into Rafah, you know what the troops did? They had their rabbis reading the scriptures. I saw a video of all the troops just getting ready to go in. They're reading the scriptures, and they're praying, and they've got their prayer shawls on. There's revival happening in Israel because they know the whole world is going against them. The whole world is cutting off their favorite ally, the broken reed America, compared to the broken reed Egypt in the Old Testament, is leaving them, and they know they need a miracle of God. And you know what the mayor of Tel Aviv did today? He canceled the gay pride parade in Tel Aviv, which is internationally recognized as the parade to go to for the LGBT community. So, and he canceled it today because of the Gaza war. And I think also because, you know what, let's not offend God while we're in the middle of a war for our life. And so in Jeremiah's day, they weren't repenting. What's happening today? Because they see they're in an existential threat to their very existence. They are saying, I think we need to get back to God. Now, at first, they're not going to get back to Jesus, but they're getting back to God. And God is all for Jews getting back to God and getting back to his law. So this is today's stuff news. In fact, I checked... I just started to type in, the gay parade before I got done. Tel Aviv in 2024. Clicked on it. They still haven't even updated their site yet. Yeah, it's going to be on in fact, it was going to be, June 2 to 9. So that means people already have their reservations that really wanted to go even in the midst of war. They were all planning on doing it, and the mayor just shut it down for something that's less than a month away. Jeremiah 18:13, therefore thus says the Lord, ask now among the Gentiles, who has heard of such things? The virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow water of Lebanon, which is what comes down into the Jordan River, the headwaters of the Jordan River up in the north part of the town, which is pure? You know, if you see water coming right out of the ground, is that safe water to drink? Absolutely, anywhere you go. You see a water coming right out of the ground. That's what you want to drink, because you know you're not going to sick. You're not going to get sick. Which comes from the rock of the field. Will the cold flowing waters be forsaken for strange waters? Really, you guys have left pure water, my word, my ways, my commandments. You've left that and you're sucking out of a dirty pond full of, you know, all this bacteria and everything else, and you're going to get yourself sick. Who does such a thing? Nobody does such a thing. Because my people have forgotten me, they have, verse 15, they have burned incense to worthless idols, and they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways from their ancient paths, to walk in pathways and not on a highway, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. When I get done judging Israel, Jews, in Jerusalem particularly, the destruction is going to be so massive that people will be walking by and look at this city that used to be filled with millions of Jews and see that the place is burned and completely destroyed and the walls torn down, and they will shake their heads and go, wow, look at what happened. Remember the history of when Solomon and David were kings of Israel and they departed from their God, and look at the judgment that fell. Could that happen? You know, there's disaster movies where you see the Statue of Liberty all destroyed. You see New York and all these cities destroyed and everything. You know, that could be our future too. And people will shake their heads. What happened? Well, it used to be God did bless America because America was blessing God. And now the same thing. America turned away from God. The blessings of God are replaced by the destructions of Satan and the murderous, you know, destruction that happens. When it says, I will scatter them as with an east wind. When we get an east wind during the summer, what happens? It gets really hot. It comes down. Same thing in the Middle East. You get a west wind, what's it coming off of? Mediterranean Sea. You got a nice, cool ocean breeze, if you will. And there's a ancient proverb that says, when the wind blows from the east, 'tis good for neither man or beast. So God is saying, I'm going to burn the place up. You guys are going to be judged. It's going to be a curse upon you. Verse 17 again, I will scatter them as with the east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Then they said, come, let us devise plans against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. The woke Jewish leaders were saying, we can go woke. We can let homosexuals in the pastorship we can let adulterers and every other form of immorality. We can have this horrible music that doesn't glorify God. We can do all these things and we're the church. We're okay. God's good with this. So they were saying the same thing. God is not going to get rid of our religious leaders despite what Jeremiah's warning that his God is saying and warning us about. Our local CCA pastor is Tom Blumberg. He's a very God-fearing, good pastor. And he said the same thing about the gay celibate theology to his church, as I just told you. And he also told his church about it and told his church about he sent to all of us a 2-hour interview, blogging interview with a pastor totally squared away down in Arizona, who was explaining why he left CCA because of what was happening with this whole gay celibate theology that was happening down in his area. And he was unable to get people to make the right decision, so he made the choice to get out of CCA. And so another pastor in our area, he saw what Tom Blumberg sent to all of us, that 2-hour blog, which I watched some of. Very, very good interview. Very good. You know, Mike, the pastor Mike down in Arizona, really an awesome guy. And he saw Tom Blumberg's warning of the church like I just warned, and called up Tom and said, Tom, you shouldn't consider yourself a CCA pastor for having that stance. And when Tom told me that today, I go, now wait a second. He called you and said that you shouldn't be a Calvary Chapel pastor because you take a stand on the Bible? That's exactly what we're talking about here. Oh, we're going to go LGBT. We're going to go gay celibate theology and stuff. You should consider yourself not being a real pastor. You don't represent the Calvary Chapel movement. And I'm reading this. I'm thinking it's exactly the same. It's woke madness that is just sweeping over the world. So Jeremiah responds, verse 18 again. Come and let us attack him with the tongue. Let us not give heed to any of his words. The time is coming that if you, like the Philadelphia church of Revelation chapter 3, if you do not deny Jesus' name and you keep God's word, then they're going to hate you. The woke church is going to hate you. The world's going to hate you. But God's going to love you. God's going to love you. And he's going to, because you are holding on to the name of Jesus and the word of God, he's going to deliver you from the day of trial that's going to be coming. And I kind of want to do that. I want to please God. And so they're thinking to kill him. We're going to kill him. And Jeremiah responds, give heed to me, O Lord, and listen to the voice of those who contend with me. Shall evil be repaid for good? That's what they plan to do. For they have dug a pit for my life. Remember that I stood before you to speak good for them, to turn away your wrath from them. So he was kind of like Moses. God, you know, they're foolish. But when have they never not been foolish? I mean, have some mercy. I would stand there and say, God, have mercy on them, even though they're doing all this. And he goes, now they're wanting to kill me. Therefore, and this is Jeremiah saying, since they hate me for telling them the truth and want to believe a lie, therefore deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. Let their wives become widows and bereaved of their children. Let their men be put to death. Their young men be slain by the sword in battle. The apostate Jews are refused to God's term to surrender. God is using Jeremiah to say, God wants you to surrender. He wants unconditional surrender. And if you unconditionally surrender, then the war is over. If you want to say, we're going to fight him anyway, he's stronger than you. And here's the warning. This city is going to be totally destroyed. Oh, yeah? Well, we're going to kill your prophet. And Jeremiah goes, okay, I'm done interceding for them. Let it happen. It's over with. We're almost at that point today, too. Let a cry be heard from their houses when you bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have dug a pit to take me and hidden snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, you know all their counsel, which is against me to slay me. Provide no atonement for their iniquity, nor blot out their sin from your sight, but let them be overthrown before you. Deal thus with them in the time of your anger. And so can we feel, after we get all done preaching to this world and they increasingly don't want to hear us say a thing, and we warn them about global government, don't we? We warn them. Global government's coming according to the prophets. It will be the total enslavement of the world. It will be the loss of all freedoms completely. And this month, the World Health Organization is going to have this semi-treaty ratified by all the nations of the world. And we are quickly going to be seeing the complete enslavement of the people of this world under the World Health Organization's legal dictatorial powers that are going to be coming. And we warn them about that. Big yawner, I don't care, whatever. And so, okay, God, just let it happen. They don't care. They're not going to repent. They're not going to turn away from their wicked ways. Chapter 19, thus says the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen flask and take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests and go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom. This is a southern valley. The son of Hinnom was where they had sacrificed their sons and daughters during Josiah's day, leading up to Josiah's day. And Josiah had put ashes of bones to defile the area so that they wouldn't ever sacrifice their sons and daughters there again. Go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the Poshered Gate, and proclaim there the words that I tell you. And it's actually, you know what this says in the Greek? It's Gehenna. And you know what Gehenna is? It's hell. It's a lake of fire. It's hellfire. When you see the translation in your New King James Bible saying hellfire when Jesus is warning about people, better to cut off your hand than to go to hellfire. It's talking about Gehenna. It's talking about the lake of fire. And say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring such a catastrophe on this place, and he means Jerusalem, that whoever hears of it, his ears will tingle, because they have forsaken me and made this an alien place, because they have burned incense in it to other gods. So Jeremiah is in the valley of Hinnom to remind them what happened there in the past. You sacrificed, you were worshiping idols. Josiah burned this place, defiled this place, judgment came on this place. It's now, you know, turned, in Jesus' day it was a garbage pit kind of thing. And that's why Jesus says Gehenna, you know, that where they would burn. And so here's the place of the object lesson, because they didn't listen then, because they have forsaken me and made this an alien place, because they have burned incense to it to other gods, whom neither they, verse 4, their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. What was it talking about? Innocent people that were slaughtered because they were telling the truth. Innocent children that were burned. They have also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come to my mind. Again, we've emphasized this so often. Killing babies is like God hates it. And especially this happened during the reign of who? Manasseh. And God said, we covered this earlier, God says, because of what Manasseh did, how he spilled so much innocent blood, judgment is going to be coming. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, or the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. I will cause them, Jerusalem, to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of those who seek their lives. Their corpses I will give as meat for the birds of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And there's nothing worse than that, you know, in their frame of mind, and we've never even experienced it or even thought about it, but the idea that the dead are not even buried. It's going to be so destructive when Babylon comes that people will not even be buried. It's going to be for dogs to drag away their bodies or the birds to eat them in the field. I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. And that's before it's completely destroyed. Babylon came, besieged the city of Jerusalem, and nothing went in, nothing went out. People couldn't get out to go get the food that were in the crops. They run out of all the food inside the city of Jerusalem, and they are now starving to death. It was the way to do war in the day. You just make it so they starve to death, and then you don't have to lose any soldiers when you go into the city. And then the people actually, as they would die, they actually eat their children. And Dustin and I were talking about how We can't imagine that. How many have gone with that? You know, you for other reasons than fasting have gone a day without being able to eat. You know, hardly anybody in America. But when you pile those days on, you go psycho. Your mind goes psycho, and you'll do things that you thought you would never do. Right? And I pray we'd never have to experience that. And so. Eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. That is what happened when Babylon came. It's also what happened when Rome came in 70 AD. And everyone shall eat the flesh of his friend in the siege, and in the desperation with which their enemies and those who seek their lives shall drive them to despair. Then you shall break the flask in the sight of the men who go with you, and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, even so, I will break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel, which cannot be made whole again. So I would imagine he didn't just say, ding. I think he took that pot and he just went, bam, and shattered into 1,000 pieces. And you can't put this together again, which cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet till there is no place to bury. Thus I will do to this place, says the Lord, and to its inhabitants, and make this city like Tophet. Let's do look at Josiah. Go back to 2 Kings 23:8. This is what Josiah did in the Valley of Tophet because of all the... He defiled the area because of the shedding of innocent blood. So 2 Kings 23:8, and then we'll come back and finish chapter 19 and do chapter 20 next week. 2 Kings 23:8, and he, Josiah, King Josiah, the last good king of Judah. Massive revival. And as soon as he's gone, his son said, I'm going to follow in my father's footsteps and we're going to follow God. We're going to... Nope, didn't happen. Instantly went back to corruption. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense. All, you know, the Valley of Hinnom, was just, that's where all the idols were. That's where they were sacrificing their children, the sex idols and everything. That's where it was. And Josiah says, I'm going to destroy this place. I'm going to defile it. Defiled the high places with the bones, the ashes of the bones of the people that were, had graves there. Where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba. Also, he broke down the high places at the gates, which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. They played church, but would not get right with God, and he defiled Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Molech again. So isn't this something? The Bible says don't sacrifice your children. They do it anyway. The Bible says you're unclean if you come in contact with anything that's dead. And so what Josiah did is he took the bones and bodies and he says, burn them to powder and then spread the powder in the sight of all these people, the powder of bones, you know, like taking an urn of somebody that was cremated, just spreading it through the whole area. And they go, oh, we can't go there. We'd be defiled. So, in other words, it's like he did that to say, you're going to stop coming out here and killing your children because I'm going to make it defiled. And you know that's against the law to go out and get defiled, even though you want to kill your children and worship idols. It's really crazy. So going to 19:13 and through 15, where we finished chapter 19. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the king of Judah shall be defiled like the place of Tophet. In other words, there's going to be dead bodies that are rotting, and the city in a way is going to become so unclean because there's no burial. Their bodies, their flesh is making the place unclean. During the Intifada in Israel, when the Palestinian Authority under Yasser Arafat was blowing up people on buses all the time, the Orthodox Jews would not go into the area of the bus blow up until specially trained Orthodox Jews had meticulously declared that there was no flesh left in the area of the bomb blast, to where so that the Orthodox Jews could then walk through that area without becoming defiled. And so what Jeremiah is saying is there's going to be so much dead, Jerusalem is going to be a totally defiled place because of all the houses on whose roofs they have burned incense to all the host of heaven and poured out drink offerings to other gods. That what was one of the things that they worshipped in that time, according to Jeremiah, which we're going to get to? The Queen of Heaven. Who's that? It's the Old Testament Mary. They were up there worshiping the Queen of Heaven on the roofs. The women were doing that and saying, hey, don't bother us. You know, our husband said it's okay to do it too. Verse 14, then Jeremiah came from Tophet, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to the people, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on this city and on all her towns all the doom that I have pronounced against it because they have stiffened their necks, that they might not hear my words and repent. I mean, it doesn't say that, but They stiffen their neck and they're not going to listen. They're not going to repent of their evil, wicked deeds. And when I say Mary is the queen of heaven, I mean, obviously, there was no Mary at the time. But what Satan does, God wants us to worship him. What is he in all the scripture? Male deity. Everything is male. So what does Satan want to do? He wants people to worship female deities. In the time, it was the queen, they called it the queen of heaven. There's not our father which art in heaven. It's our queen which is in heaven. And the same deception thousands of years ago is the same deception that a billion people have been deceived into to worship Mary and pray to her and do her rosary beads and have the Hail Marys instead of worshiping the true God. And they think they're Christians. And most of the woke church calls them Christians. And Jeremiah thinks otherwise. So are there parallels once again to the book of Jeremiah and today? And the same result's going to happen. There is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the church. He's told us what's going to happen through the prophets. The world does not want to hear the prophets of God. They don't want to hear the stuff that's coming. They don't want to repent of their evil deeds. And this place is going to become a time of Jacob's trouble like the world has never, ever seen. And the world has seen horrible, horrible loss of life, destruction, and misery. And why? Because people refuse to repent. But we still are going to be like Jeremiah, right? How many people have been threatened that they want to kill you for talking to him? Not yet. Yeah, and think about this. And Jeremiah's entire ministry was like that. But we're going to kill you. Perhaps I'll kill you tomorrow. And Jeremiah is going to say a little bit later, I was just going to stop, but then I couldn't. And the same thing should be true for us. We can feel like stopping and being a good guy and people don't hate us for being a Christian, but we can't. We know the truth. We want to warn people until there's no more ability to warn because Jesus takes us home either by death or by rapture. And that's our mission until we're done. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you, once again, didn't leave us as orphans. But you left us your word and you left the Holy Spirit that brings your word to remembrance and makes it so applicable today as it was in Jeremiah's day. And we pray that you would help us to have courage like Jeremiah had. And even though people most won't listen, there's still some out there, Lord, that do. They repent. And just like there were some that listened to Jeremiah and defected to Babylon and saved their lives, that there's some that will defect to you and your son Jesus and have everlasting life when they call upon the name of the Lord. Help us to minister to those that are out there that are going to have that decision. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Strength of my strength of my life. Be the strength of my life today. Be the strength of my life. Be the strength of my life. Be the strength of my life today. Every day I look to you to be the strength of my life.
We better be doing that for sure, because there's no strength in us, right? Without Jesus, we are in a heap of trouble. So He is the strength of our life. God bless you. Keep you in His care.